This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, September 16th, 2022. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, modern slavery around the world is on the rise. How the digitalization of public services is eroding workers' rights. The Labour Start report about union events and rapping.
I'm working on a farm 24-7. 8 months out the year, I said I'm working on a farm. Thought it would be heaven, but it's hell over here. I said I'm working on a farm, but my wife and kids ain't here.
This is Radio Labour. A new report by the International Labour Organization shows that modern slavery in the world has increased to 50 million people. I talked to Sharon Burrow about the ILO's report. Ms. Burrow is the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the organization which represents national union centers such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress and the AFL-CIO in the United States at the world level. I asked Ms. Burrow to describe the people trapped in modern slavery and if they are found in predominantly developing countries.
Modern slavery is a scourge, and while you can find predominantly migrant workers in forced labour in developing countries, people who are so desperate for work to feed the family, to just find a way of survival, that they travel to other countries accepting criminal conditions, exploitation that you cannot understand from other human beings. But I have to say, it is not just developing countries. While the numbers are in the majority, anywhere you have a visa system that effectively allows a worker to have all of the aspects of their lives controlled by another human being, the employer, that's modern slavery.
To address modern slavery, the ITUC has called for a new social contract. What is this contract and why is the ITUC calling for its implementation?
In 2019, the ITUC had a very clear agenda for the Centenary Declaration on the Future of Work. If we have a broken labour market, and we do, Mark, that is 60% of the world's workers working informally, no rights, no minimum wage, no rule of law, no courts for remedy, and 40% in the more formal economy, over a third of them facing insecure work with short-term contracts, casual, or indeed even zero-hours contracts, then we know that this world is not working for working people. So in the Centenary Declaration, we called for the essence of a social contract renewal, which is fundamental rights, occupational health and safety now a fundamental right, minimum living wages or wages on which you can live with dignity, and some control over working lives, maximum hours of work in particular. But we married that with the guarantee of universal social protection, a transformative agenda for women, and just transition for climate and technological changes. We know that if those things are in place for every worker, and those four conditions are specifically documented as being the entitlements of every worker, irrespective of the employment contract, then you would go a long way to the demands that the ITUC has. Our demands, which will be debated in detail again at the November ITUC Congress, go to jobs, climate-friendly jobs with just transition. They demand just wages, minimum living wages, and strengthened collective bargaining. We demand universal social protection with a global social protection fund, a kickstart system where there are none. We want, of course, equality, where women experience equality because indicators for women in the labour market have stalled on every aspect. But we also want equality and inclusion for people of different ethnicities and indeed for people of different sexual orientation. So if you don't have equality for women of gender and of race, then you are not actually serious about an inclusive labour market.
The introduction of digital technologies in local public services is resulting in lesser quality services, severe privacy concerns, and attacks on workers' rights. As part of a series focused on local government, Public Services International conducted a webinar on the subject of public service digitalization. It featured one of the labor movement's experts on the subject, Christina Colclough. PSI is the global union which represents national public service unions at the world level. Ms. Colclough.
As citizens, as workers in local government, in public services, we are being digitalized all the way through. Some of the impacts and the consequences, I think, are really important, and especially in light of COVID-19. You know, if we look at it, the procurement out and into the private sector from public services, all expectations are this is going to grow immensely as the public budgets, public services are going to be squashed and squeezed because of COVID. Now, you know, we really have to, and this is number one, in everything that happens in your local services, in your local government, look at the contract between you as the public service and the private enterprises who are winning the procurement task. What is the in the contract there around joint data access and control, around your right as the public service to change the algorithms? And we'll mention why in a minute, or I can already mention an example now in Sweden, in the UK, there have been grave consequences of poorly managed algorithms, both within welfare systems, childcare, child abuse, school systems, and so forth. Had the local community or the council been governing these algorithmic systems, these digital systems, had they the right then to tell the private sector, we need to change the algorithm, then many of these harms would not have happened. So big urge for you all there is to really make sure that those negotiating these procurement contracts do so with the public services good in mind.
Here with his report about union events is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of the Global Union's campaign to have the United Nations reject the Myanmar military dictatorship's attempt to gain legitimacy and instead recognize the national unity government of that country as the legitimate representative of Myanmar at the United Nations. We also carried news of ongoing attacks on independent teachers' unions in Iran and the results of a new survey that tracks the increase in the number of people living in slavery since the start of the pandemic. And we had coverage of the Amazon strike in Germany this week, another legal attack on Russian unions that have not publicly supported the war in Ukraine, the election of a Palestinian union leader as head of the Arab Federation of Trade Unions, and the intensification of the push for a minimum wage increase in Ireland. But my favorite top story of the week was the announcement that Sihan Erdal, a member of the Canadian Union of Public Employees who has been allowed to return home to Ottawa after having been imprisoned in Turkey and then not allowed to leave that country for more than a year. His release from prison came after concerted efforts on his behalf by his union, including a Labour Start online action. The emerging continuing trend in our news coverage this week is the impact of rising inflation on workers and the reaction of trade unions around the globe. Wage disputes are rising sharply. Pick any of the dozens of countries Labour Start carries news from this week, and you'll see stories of strikes as workers struggle to ensure that their wages are enough to support themselves and their families. And in many countries, especially those with relatively low union membership rates, we can track increases in organizing efforts by workers as they look to protect themselves from inflation and gain a greater share of the huge profits that price hikes are generating. The effect has been, pardon the expression, particularly striking in the United States. Their organizing efforts amongst retail and logistics workers have escalated sharply in the last few months. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found stories about a new push to reduce sexual harassment in Canadian hotels, the struggles of women from Sierra Leone working as domestic employees in Oman, and the organizing underway amongst Haitian garment workers as they prepare to bargain for a wage increase in an industry which currently pays workers about 25% of what is required to meet the workers' daily living expenses. A small sample of the stories appearing on our health and safety page in Newswire this week includes the big win for Kenyan glass workers who struck 4-1 huge improvements in workplace safety, calls for the government of Pakistan to honor its pledge to enforce safety regulations on the 10th anniversary of a fatal factory fire, and a safety strike by construction workers in Honduras. Our current photo of the week is of Cambodian garment workers holding protest signs in their workplace. Their union has faced police repression as it fights for an increase in the industrial minimum wage. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is Working on a Farm.
Yo, yo, yo. For all our migrant workers, people got it twisted. Thinking they're coming here to make a lot more money than they actually are.
Yo. I'm working on a farm 24/7, 8 months out the year. I said I'm working on a farm, thought it would be heaven, but it's hell over here. I said I'm working on a farm, but my wife and kids ain't here.
Imagine the country you lived in had been torn apart by war, plundered and pillaged and kicked in by governments near and far. Most of the politicians were crooks with ties to drug dealers and all. You couldn't make a living without paying taxes to the mob. Or in my case, it's the modest minimum wages, hours work for a dollar, not dollars in an hour. Yo vivo en Guatemala, my country's gone to hell. Drug cartels got all the power, laying flowers for the dead every hour. In comes this gringo, this white man in a suit.
Hi, buddy.
Selling us this pipe dream, making money, picking fruit. Working north of the U.S. border, hitting quotas, earning dollars. My own sleeping quarters will be arranged by the employer. There has to be a catch. Yo, gringo, what's the catch?
Yeah, well, you'll be away for 8 months and you'll be working on a farm with pesticides and such.
Like,
but your consulate will be there to protect you from any harm.
When I know us?
All you gotta do is stay warm.
I'm working on a farm 24/7, 8 months out the year. I said I'm working on a farm, thought it would be heaven, but it's hell over here. I said I'm working on a farm, but my wife and kids ain't here.
That pinche gringo didn't tell me about the debt that I'd have to pay the owners from the second I collect.
What?
Paycheck after paycheck on my flight and on my rent and the taxes, and they kept a percentage of my wages for their pension and insurance, and these things I'll never get. Oh, don't let me forget the quarters where I'm sleeping that were arranged by the employer. Got us creeping in our corners, 6 heads to a room, 250 a head.
That's a lot of money.
8 months out the year, that's a lot more blinking money than I'm making over here. And the pesticides and such, yeah, they led to amputations, hospitals and such. The consulate went missing until we saw him having lunch with the boss at the plantation. If we complain, it's deportation, so we contain this emasculation. Relocation's not an option, our families can't afford. We're all tired of being poor. There's thousands of us here, but back home there's thousands more.
I'm working on a farm 24/7, 8 months out the year. I said I'm working on a farm, thought it would be heaven, but it's hell over here. I said I'm working on a farm, but my wife and kids ain't here.
Yeah, there you have it. Since 1966 this has been going on. Canadians only started caring when we started bringing them into the banks. Rest in peace to all those that have died in the vehicle accidents and on the field. It's real out there.
Working on a Farm was produced by the United Food and Commercial Workers, UFCW Canada. And that's it. Labor news you can use. You can listen to our daily newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. I'm Marc Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.